Ernest Hemingway wrote a short novel titled The Capital of the World. And it's the story of a young man from Madrid, Spain, named Paco, who dreams big. He wants to become a matador. He wants to be a bullfighter. But his father disagrees. They get into discussions. They insult each other. This goes on for a while. Then one day things really get nasty and the father kicks him out. Paco leaves, and for many, many years they don't talk to each other. They don't even know where they are. Many years later, the father is old, dying. He wants to be reconciled with his son. He goes out of his way really to find him, but cannot find where Paco is. So finally he decides to put an announcement in the local newspaper. And he reads more or less like this: Paco, everything is forgiven. Please come back. I love you. Your father. Meet me tomorrow at noon by the Hotel Montana. The following day, Hemingway says, when Paco's father went to the Montana Hotel, he found hundreds of young men named Paco, all of them looking for their father to receive an embrace from their father. A desire, a longing that we all have to be reconciled, to be embraced. And I think that's why today's parable, the prodigal son, is so powerful. It speaks to us. I heard it, I read it 1,000 times, maybe more. And yet every time it's new. Every time it stirs up emotions, thoughts, desires. An incredible story. Charles Dickens said this is the best short story ever written. So Jesus is really a master of literature. The context of this parable: Jesus meets with sinners. Not only that, he eats with them. What does it mean? I imagine all these sinners, all these tax collectors, prostitutes, what have you, be drawn to Jesus. They listen to him, and at the end they are touched, they are moved, they are changed, and they invite Jesus over for dinner. The fact that Jesus eats with them tells me that it's a celebration of conversion. Yes, they were sinners, but if Jesus eats with them, they are no longer sinners. They have changed. They have embraced conversion. And the Pharisees hate this. They really go berserk. How could you mingle with sinners? I heard oftentimes the criticism, why do you go to church? They're all hypocrites, all sinners. And I say, join us, one more will not hurt. We don't come to church because we are saints, or holy, or good, or better than others. Quite the opposite. All of us are the prodigal son. All of us, I am the first, I'm the worst. We come back because we all long to get that embrace from the Father. Now, the prodigal son, don't get me wrong, he really did unforgivable sins. When his father, he was living with his father, and he says, Father, give me my portion of the inheritance that should come to me. Notice how often he repeats, I, me, mine. He's all totally self-absorbed. Give me my portion of the inheritance. Now, the inheritance, usually, it's given at the death of the father. So basically, this young man is saying, I wish you were dead now. That's what he's saying. I don't want to wait for you to get old and die. I want now to have fun. That's really the whole goal. You remember that song, Girls Want to Have Fun? Remember that song? Well, this guy wanted to have fun. And he wanted now. And incredibly, the father agrees. This tells us a lot about the father. He's been insulted. His son wishes him dead, and he gives generously. And he goes to a far distant land to squander all his possessions in dissolute living. Does it make it happy? Does he get the fun he wanted? Absolutely not. That's the definition of sin. The Greek word for sin is amartia, which literally translates missing the mark. That's what a sin is. It's when you miss the mark. When you want to have fun, when you want to rejoice, you want to have joy, and you end up in the opposite place. And he does end up in the opposite place. He ends up tending swine. I mean, I guess nobody here really would like to grow up to become a swine herder, right? But for a Jewish person, that would be unthinkable. Pigs are unclean animals. They usually are quite messed up, right? But it's a theological thing. It's a spiritual thing. You don't eat pork. You don't mingle with them. You don't touch them. You don't get anywhere close to them. As a matter of fact, you would not find pigs in Palestine in those days. He had gone to a far distant land, to a pagan land, and there he finds himself taking care of swine. Not only that, it gets worse. He wanted to eat pork's feet. Can you imagine? The gospel is telling us he became an animal. That's what it is. He gave up his humanity. He stooped as low as he could. He wanted to eat. But notice also, nobody gave him anything. In that place, far from the Father, nobody gives him anything. With the Father, he had it all for free. It's what we call grace, God's favor. You don't have to ask for it, you have it. But in that far distant land, he asks, he begs, and he gets nothing. Finally, he comes to his senses and decides to return. Why? Is he missing his father? No. Has he changed? No, he's hungry, that's all. He wants to go back. He knows he cannot take his place as a son, but I'll be a slave. At least I'll have food. That little step, that nostalgia of the father is enough to make the change happen. He starts walking back, and now it is the father who runs to him. Notice, it's not us who go to God. We always say, come back to me, which are words from the prophet Isaiah. Yes, we come back, but you know what? When you make the first step, the rest God will do. He will come to you. The father runs out to meet him. Now, imagine an old nobleman, a king, running. That was not appropriate. The king would be sitting down, and his servants would come and say, well, that, you know, son of yours is back here. Would you like to see him? Should I let him in? No, the father runs out and embraces him. Remember, he was coming from tending swine. I would have said, go take a shower, then I'll hug you. No, the father doesn't wait. Hugs him, kisses him, gives him back his dignity, and slaughters the fatted calf. The one was set aside for special events. And now see, the party begins. This son left to have the time of his life, and he gets it only when he comes back. The celebration, the feast, the joy is not away from the Father, it's with the Father. But remember, Jesus is addressing this parable to the Pharisees. It's to them that he wants to speak. And they are the ones who do not want to welcome back the prodigal son. They are the older son. So the parable goes on. But the older son comes back and is really mad. You are treating this son of yours, notice he doesn't call him my brother, it's this son of yours, for him, you killed the fatted calf. By the way, so if the older son is a sad figure, imagine how sad was the fatted calf. this son of yours has come back, and for him you have done this. I, he says, I have slaved for you. I obeyed you. You never gave me anything. Notice how this son also is far from the father. He's exactly like his brother. He's there, but he's only serving the father, obeying. There is no relationship of love. The father gives everything to them. Everything that I have is yours, he says. But the older son wants to own it separately from the father as well, just like his younger brother. And the parable ends there. There is really no closure. What happened afterwards? Did he go in? Did he accept the father's reasoning? He said, "You're right, let me go and welcome my brother back." Or do you think that he did not accept his father's explanation? He continued in his refusal to enter the house. What do you think? Don't answer. Someone says that the way you would answer this question would reveal a lot about you, about what you would do. Right? Would I be willing to forgive? Or would I remain stubborn in my rejection of the one who has come back to the Father? We are in the Jubilee Year of Mercy. We're invited really to experience the great celebration, the joy of reconciliation. You know, sometimes especially when I hear first confessions, little kids coming for the first time to confession, they are terrified. I don't know what the parents or teachers tell them, but they're really afraid. And I tell them, look, you're coming to a place of great joy. It's a celebration. Reconciliation, confession, as the Pope says, is not a torture chamber. It's a celebration of joy. It's a party being welcomed by the Father. But once we experience this great mercy, we must become merciful. We cannot be like the older son, despising others, thinking that we are better than them. We need to learn not only to appreciate God's mercy, but we need to learn also to be merciful. Remember, this is one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. So we need to be merciful. And to close, I would like to mention a personal detail about this story. There's a painting by Rembrandt of the return of the prodigal son. I don't know if we have it to project on the wall here. It's a painting, magnificent, by Rembrandt, the Dutch painter of the 1600s, of the return of the prodigal son to his father. And in that painting, the prodigal son is kneeling and leaning his head on the father's chest. And the father is embracing him. This is a very interesting detail. The two hands of the father embracing his son. One is a male hand, the other is a female hand. Mercy is strong, needs to be strong, but also tender. And the fact that the prodigal son leans his head against the father's chest in total abandonment, that image is constantly in my mind when I celebrate Mass. And when I kneel by the altar, I always lean my head against the altar. And the reason why I do that, well, there it is. No, that's not the one. That's not Rembrandt. And when I lean my head against the altar, I imagine the prodigal son leaning against the chest of his father and receiving that embrace. I would like to invite you to the great celebration, to the great party that is God's mercy. This is what Pope Francis is inviting us to experience this great embrace of love, the great joy of returning to the Father, and to become merciful like the Father. Amen.
That's the one.
Yeah. The left hand, if you notice, well, he's right hand, but to our left. That's a female. It's a woman's head. The other one is a male head. And you see that the prodigal son is leaning against his father's chest in total abandonment. Well, when I consecrate, that's the image that comes to my mind.